Good morning. Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the Heblon folk in their walrus caves, living the high life like the folks from Vegas. Good morning. Good morning to the travelers on Highway 56. You'll get there someday. You'll get there some way. It is September the 28th, 2024, Bo Blimpdoc, and it's Saturday. It's just after 7 a.m. on the Olympic Peninsula here in fashionable Port Angeles, Washington. Amongst the trees and the squirrels, amongst the raccoons and the bear, among the salmon and the orca and the dolphin and the crab, among the clams, among the rainbow trout, among the seaweed is where we breed. Yes, indeed. Yeah, it's Saturday. Can you believe it? Talking to you again, and it's slightly less than a week later. And that's something, right? In this day and age, in this time of crazy, I don't know, folks. I have food, water, shelter for right now. I have some kind of job where maybe I'm helping, and if I'm not, I'm not being paid very much, so that's good for right now. I have a fair amount of my own sanity left, and I don't know, maybe a lot of other people do too. And so things aren't totally insane yet for right now. For right now, you can still go to the grocery store. You can still buy your Frenchie some special kind of meat. For right now, you can take your girlfriend Barbie down to the beach. You can take your reach. For right now, you can sail on a yacht. For right now, you can dream of robots. For right now, you can sleep on your cot. You see what you got right now? You're paying $1,500 a month in Belltown for 200 square feet right now. Right now, you spend hours on your bus trips to fucking Redmond to work for fucking Microsoft right now. Right now, you're trapped in your own existential hole. But you can still smoke a bowl right now. So let's be okay with that. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. If you put a gun to my head and said, vote, I'd let you blow my brains out. If you gave me a bottle of poison and said I had to drink it, if I were unwilling to vote, give me two bottles. If you put me in a cage with a wild tiger, unless I'm willing to vote, throw in a kangaroo too. Yeah. That is where I'm at. I personally don't want to die. There's a lot to live for still. There are a lot of things that still make me happy, believe it or not, you know. Being able to have eggs for breakfast here and not have to drive into town and pay tons of money. Crap, that's just rational happiness right there. But when it comes to the issue of, you know, voting, I don't know what to tell you. I am at the point right now where I know there are people out there. I've met them. I met them recently. I know them. I work with them. Who think that if you don't want to vote, you don't care about life, you don't care about people, you don't care about existence, you don't care about nature, you don't care about anything. You're a nihilist if you don't want to vote. I would propose the alternative theory. I think you've fucking given up if you think voting is your way out. I would say the ultimate nihilist is the person that plays around in cartoon land instead of trying to come up with an actual solution to their problems. And I'm more or less a fool, and I'm admittedly, you know, poor and a hobo and borderline indigent, but I don't claim to be anything other than that, really. That is who I claim to be. Yeah, I think the voters are the people that are the nihilists at this point, you know? It would be great to think that one of those people, Trump or Kamala Harris, Kamala, I don't care how you pronounce that name, I don't give a fuck. It would be great if Oliver Twist from the Libertarians or some fool could A, get elected, and B, be somebody who'd actually do something, I don't know, correct or righteous. But the reality is that's a fantasy. And it's always been a fantasy. There's never been such a thing. It won't be allowed. And this particular game goes on until it ends. That's it. This isn't a question of, is this like Germany, 1933? Oh my God, Trump is Hitler. Kamala is Hitler. Oliver Twist is libertarian Hitler. No. This is April, 1945, Berlin, and the game is over. And yeah, our own personal Hitlers can issue all kinds of orders. We're going to blow up Germany. And they do that. They threaten that every day. They threaten that through their incompetent handling of what look like global conflicts that are a few steps away from nuclear war. So they more or less issue orders like Hitler did in that figurative sense from the bunker that are nonsense, that are dangerous nonsense. Hey, Albert Speer, wire Germany to explode. That's about as rational as the current policies of the United States. We look crazy from a game theory perspective, from a mutually assured destruction perspective. Our government currently looks insane. If you believe any of this is real, if you believe the conflicts in the Middle East are real, if you think the situation in the Ukraine is real, then from a mutually assured destructive perspective, our government looks insane. And here's the thing about mutually assured destruction. It doesn't work with crazy people. In fact, MAD basically says your only good move with crazy people is to take them out first. That's right. That's what game theory says. It doesn't say wait around. It doesn't say dither in the Ukraine like it's 1916 and it's Verdun. No. MAD says you take out the crazy people fast with a decapitation first strike. And that should have happened about a year ago. And it hasn't happened yet. And it's not that I want people to launch nuclear weapons at the United States, but I want to make the simple point that currently our government is insane. And there's no option to it that will make it more sane. And the only way it's gonna be okay is when it, you know, ceases to exist. Which is probably sooner than most people realize. And voting will make no fucking difference. Next topic. Dan, I can't believe you said you're not going to vote for Papa Blump. No, I'm not. Not going to vote for Blump or Harris or Oliver Twist. I'm not even going to write in the name Dr. Freckles, which I have in the past. No, there's no point. It's a ritual that serves no purpose for me. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Treat me like a human being, but don't blow me up. Treat me like a human being, but don't blow me up. Don't blow me up. Treat me like a person, But let's be honest, when people say things like, why don't you be more humane? Especially when an atheist says it, somebody who will quote you the anthropological history of the human form, you know, going back to Lucy and the Rift Valley, baby. Yeah, that very same person won't remember that some of those various forms ate other people, and it didn't stop 60,000 years ago. That there's a good chance that Homo sapien either, you know, sexually assaulted away or ate away, you know, Neanderthal. Which means Neanderthal went away by two modes, by being eaten and by being overbred, you know, or innerbred or whatever. Sexual assault. Yeah. So when people say things like, treat me like a human, I think about the last 100 years of human history, if that's the fairest comparison. And if somebody says, let's be more humane, I gotta say, that road is leading to destruction. So yeah, treat me like a human being, but please don't blow me up. Because from what I can tell, the current view of many people is it's okay to blow up your neighbor, especially if you have a confused, quasi-factual notion of reality. Then go ahead and support the latest idea. Anyways, next topic. Here's an article from Bloomberg. I think it's bloomberg.ca, whatever. Headline, JBS meat giant abused U.S. immigrant workers, union alleges. This was written by Gerson Freitas Jr. And it was published on September the 24th, 2024, Boblimp Doc. So I read on. A labor union is calling on U.S. authorities to investigate JBSSA over allegations of abuse and crimes against immigrant workers, just as the world's largest meat producer seeks to trade its shares in the U.S. The United Food and Commercial Workers said workers at the JBS plant in Greeley, Colorado, have been subject to human trafficking, paying rent for squalid conditions, dangerous work conditions, threats and intimidation. As many as 500 Haitian and Benin workers may have been impacted, the union said. Some of the alleged violations were committed by a hiring manager and at least one associate who was not directly employed by the company. Huh, that's a great way to cover things. But had direct access to the Greeley plant, according to the UFCW Local 7. The union said it has reached out to state and federal law enforcement as well as agencies, including the Department of Labor. JBS shares traded in Brazil fell as much as 1.9% on Wednesday. Oh boy. The Brazilian meat packer, I'm sorry, I gotta read that. The Brazilian meat packer, fudge packer, the Brazilian meat packer said in a statement, it has put new human resources leaders in place at the facility and banned the non-employee, which was the gimme guy, the fucking Freddy. Yeah, let's stop right here about that non-employee. When it comes to human trafficking in the United States, you generally have to have not just plausible deniability, but like layers between your company and the actual illegal workers. They don't get employed directly by the company. Usually, you hire a third-party contractor. And it might be called labor excellence or hard-working labor. But it's really just like those dudes, you know, in the 18th and 19th century who would show up and say, I got me some slaves. You want to buy one? Or maybe like in episode 4, the first Star Wars movie, Fuck New Math. Yeah, maybe like in episode 4 where they show up to sell the droids, you know. These people would never be directly employed. They would never be under any legal conditions for which the union rules would apply or make any sense. And this is simply a practical legal reality. It's not to say that it's legal what they're doing. I don't think there's a rule of law in this country right now. I don't think there's been one for a while. And based on my own philosophical beliefs, I think the entire notion is kind of insane, that it's just never really been a thing. But if you believe that there is some sort of law out there protecting you from shit like this, I think you're confused. I think you need to reason about your experiences right now. This isn't about people from Haiti. I do not know for certain what's going on in Haiti. And there's a whole bunch of other countries right now around the world that have been in kind of a news blackout for the last couple years. And Haiti, which is, you know, relatively close to the United States, Haiti is starting to get into that news blackout. You know, they're starting to get into that zone where you can't really talk about what the fuck's going on in Haiti, not if you want to keep stability, you know, in the United States of America. And so, yeah, who knows what's going on there? Who knows? This is kind of a horrible topic. I mention it because it's one of those things that becomes a political football. You know, immigrants, illegals, homeless, basically the poorest people on planet Earth become a political football because these are the people that if you kick them around and beat them, if you drop 80,000 tons of TNT on them, if you set them on fire or poison their kids or traffic them, these are the people that in reality nobody gives a fuck about. Even the people that are so poor that they're almost these people, which means they're just a few degrees removed from ending up being one of these people. Even those will mock the homeless and the poor and all of these individual human beings out there who, for all intents and purposes, are the weakest, least strong, least powerful people in society. And I'm not saying there aren't bad Haitians. Yo, shit, yeah, there are. There are bad Haitians and bad Cubans and bad Mexicans and bad Germans, a shitload of bad Danish. There's all kinds of bad people in the world. And the state of being bad has almost nothing to do with where you're from. It has a lot to do with desperation. It can have something to do with poverty, but it has zero to do with what you look like or what your gender is. Anyways, this is a fucking shitty topic. A lot of people right now are like, well, I wish they would, you know, build a wall. And all I can say is that wall is not going to be used to keep people out. I don't care if Trump gets elected. If Trump gets elected, you're still going to have human trafficking, A. And B, just like the bullshit Millennium bombing shutdown of the Canadian border, like where we live here in Washington State, like when I was a kid and you could cross the fucking border with a Washington State driver's license, just like that bullshit, and now we gotta use a fucking passport, it makes no fucking sense, and it doesn't make you more secure, it actually takes away your fucking freedom. The wall and that millennium bullshit was never about keeping out terrorists, it's about keeping you in. When the Soviet Union ordered the building of a wall in Berlin between East and West Berlin, when they ordered the building of that wall, they weren't worried about West Germans wanting to go to the communist countries. They weren't. I hate to blow your fucking mind, but when the Soviet Union built that fucking wall, they were not worried about people from West Germany running as fast as they fucking can to be a communist. They were worried about the fact that people in the Eastern Bloc were going through Berlin, East Berlin, to escape to West Berlin, to escape that Soviet commie bullshit. Now ask yourself again, Mr. and Mrs. Megahead, why the fuck do you think they want to build a fucking wall? And do you think it'll just be Republicans? Oh, there'll be tons of Democrats who will want to build that fucking wall too, because that's a Keynesian wall. That's a make-work wall. That's a broken windows wall. Next topic. Dan, I can't believe you're making fun of building walls. Oh, I'll make fun of that shit all fucking day long. And then we can have a conversation about the Chinese wall, the Great Wall, Hadrian's Wall, or how about the Maginot fucking line? You know? Yeah, we can have a conversation about walls. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Life gives you protein cubes, Make spider egg chili. Life gives you protein cubes. Make some spider egg chili. Life gives you protein cubes. Make some spider egg chili. Spider egg chili. It gets really, really silly. Yeah. Life gives you protein cubes. Make spider egg chili. That's also where we're at, I think. That's what it feels like. We're not at the point where you're going to help anyone by blowing sunshine up their asshole. And that's some advice to all the optimists out there, all the positive mental attitude motherfuckers. If you want to impact your fellow human being at this point, you better know how to do the soft sell, because your bullshit doesn't work. It barely ever worked. It doesn't work now. In fact, it enrages people. It enrages the fuck out of people. You got to learn the soft sell. It's not about, you know, making eggs and making omelets. It's about fucking protein cubes if you're lucky, you know, and then you make some spider egg chili if you're real lucky. And with that spider egg floating power, you'll have the total universal energy levels of 7.2 billion dead hippos. Life gives you protein cubes. Make spider egg chili. Life gives you protein cubes. Make spider egg chili. Next topic. If there is another topic, and there might not be, who knows? Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. I dump my garbage in the mailbox. If I get garbage, any kind of fucking garbage, if there's garbage in my truck, if there's garbage in my room, if there's garbage in my bed, I put it in the mailbox. Yes. I dump my garbage in any nearby mailbox. If I'm going to McDonald's and I have some old Burger King wrappers, I dump them in the mailbox. I try to make sure nobody is looking. I'll keep doing this until I get caught. I see a mailbox. I dump garbage in it. Now, of course, if that were true, and I'm adding the addendum for legal purposes, of course, if any of that were true, if I actually did dump all my garbage in mailboxes, that would be the admission of a felony. And I don't. I don't. I don't. I the other day, I was in one of those moods where I was thinking about the future and the past and the present and all of it mixed together in a big old, you know, bouillabaisse or gumbo or whatever freaking gooey stinky sauce soup you like to eat down there in Louisiana. No, I was thinking about it, and it occurred to me that a mailbox is a receptacle that you can put things into. It they tell you what you're supposed to put in is mail you're sending to somebody you love. But what if your feelings of love towards others is really just fucking garbage? And what if garbage is garbage, and therefore you can put garbage in the mailbox? I dump my garbage in the mailbox. Yeah, it's where I pay my bills, baby. That's terrible, Dan. I had an important letter I was sending to the insurance company. I know you were. I know you were communicating with the insurance company. I know. You were talking to some government agency. You were writing a letter to your frickin' congressman. I get it. And it's all garbage, especially at this point. It is. It's garbage. It's paper, plastic, glue, garbage. It's dead. Next topic. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. It's diabetes, not livabetes. They'd call it livabetes if they expected you to live. They'd call it livabetes if they expected you to give a shit about the sores on your feet, to give a shit about losing a toe. That's, Dan, that's terrible. It's in poor taste. People have it. I know they do. I probably do. Everybody probably does. On some level, we all probably have some type of metabolic syndrome, mainly because of the food we eat. And you could say, well, I'm keto and I plant my own food. And I know, I hear you. And I see them dropping poison from the skies every fucking day. Everywhere I've lived in the last decade. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. So you can tell me about your organic garden, and you can tell me about your fucking keto, and how you've been, oh, but Dan, I chelate my body with a special tea from China. Well, good luck with that, but chelation was designed to work with metals, you know, primarily. And who knows? A lot of the stuff they're dropping on us, I'm not sure chelation's going to help. If it's nanoscale, probably not. Probably not. Who knows? I would simply say that we're probably all eating the same gumptus pudding. We're all probably trying to turn protein cubes into spider egg chili. All of us. Trying to make a molehill out of a mountain. So, there's a lot of clickbait on the internet. Dan, that's obvious. It is obvious. There's tons of clickbait. You know, I first started going on the web with my own account back in 1998. I was kind of a late adopter. I spent my 20s as more or less a humanities geek. That was before I got into programming computers, before I got into technology, hooray, before my life descended into its own absurd kind of hell. But yeah, in the late 90s, I got my first, you know, online account. I was still in the Army. I was at Fort Lewis. Now it's a Lewis McChord. Who cares? And, you know, it was AOL. AOL Online. Hey, you've got mail. And the thing is, when I heard that you got mail the first time, it was a dopamine rush. It was like, holy crap. Now that I'm on the internet, people give a fuck about me. I just don't have to go home and get drunk every night, drinking swizzly sauce and eating shit from the 7-Eleven. And every subject line for every email was, here are the pics you've been looking for, or the pictures you've been waiting for. And again, I think if you study the history of Peter Thiel and PayPal and stuff like that, you'll find a crude and gruesome connection between that motherfucker and the, here are the pics you're looking for, you've got mail, if you know what I mean. Clickbait, you could say clickbait is really perspective too. It's kind of like a troll. One person's troll is just another, just a person. You know, I'm asking questions. I don't agree with you. You call me a troll because that's the best you can come up with. Some people are kind of like trolls, but in my view, trolls are stalkers. They're people that follow you around. They're people that, you know, bother you on purpose. A lot of people just don't agree with you. That doesn't make them a troll. There are news stories out there that are total crap. And some of them are published by satire sources like Babylon Bee. you know, or the Onion online or whatever. It's all satire. And so you know it's satire, so you know it's that. That's okay. That's legit. That's just satire. That's a joke. That's funny. That's okay. And then there are a lot of stories online that are total bullshit. And people will post a picture that if you don't know what you're looking at, you'll assume represents something true. Back in 2020, and I think it was like May of 2020, lots of motherfuckers were posting pictures of self-propelled 155mm artillery on trains going around the country. But you know what the subtitle was, the subtext, the caption was? Here was the caption. United States government moving tanks. Because in 2020, the United States government moving SP-155 to a training center so that a unit can practice artillery, that doesn't sound quite as exciting as United States government moving tanks to take over people's freedom shit. And in the time of fear, the summer of paranoia, 2020, that was the kind of story you'd see. You'd see the picture. You'd see the caption. A lot of people who don't know the difference between an SP-155 and an Abrams would believe that bullshit. They'd see a Bradley and they'd say, oh, that's a tank. And then some fucking edgelord, some fucking alt news fucking thought leader calls a Bradley a tank during the Ukraine war. And all now people are calling Bradleys tanks. Motherfucker, Bradley ain't a tank. An SP-155 ain't a tank. If you don't know the difference in a real situation where this stuff mattered, you would be dead. An SP-155 fires a larger round than an Abrams. Does that mean you would want to go up against an Abrams? Think on this. Think on this, pal. Think on it, buddy. You probably don't know because you don't understand the weapon systems. I'm telling you straight up. 10 self-propelled 155s are not equal to one M1 Abrams. 10 of them. You could have 10 of them and you'd have a lot of dead people. There's not very thick armor on an SP. Did you know that? It is armored against shrapnel. It's not designed to take a direct hit. It's designed to take a near miss from indirect counterfire, moron. And as far as the Bradley goes, it has slightly better armor than an SP-155. So if you say to me, well, I'll take my Bradley and I'll go up against... No, you won't. You could have 20 of them and you will have 20 Bradley crews that are dead against one Abrams. I'm simply giving you the cold math. You give me the latest Abrams or the best crew you can find. You give me 10 Bradleys, and I think within about 30 minutes, all 10 of those Bradleys are shredded. So clickbait is designed to pull you in with some outrageous statement. Once you drill into it, if you know what the hell you're looking at, you figure it out. Well, there was some clickbait on the internet the other day. And I think it's a true story, but it's kind of a gruesome story. This is a story that originates from 1981, but the article that I'm going to read is from February the 5th, 1982. Headline. Hundreds of human fetuses, some possibly in the 6th month, discovered. Hundreds of human fetuses, some possibly in the 6th month of development, were found stacked in a large shipping container picked up behind the home of a medical laboratory owner, police said Friday. Detective Roland Druin said the fetuses were preserved in formaldehyde in plastic white containers. Medical records also found in the container indicated that some of the fetuses had been aborted as long as ago as 1979. Druin said police turned over the investigation to the coroner's office and county health officials and said the coroner's investigators would determine at what point in development the fetuses had been aborted. A county health department spokesman said his office will determine whether the fetuses were improperly disposed of. He said that regulations require that fetuses be disposed of within days of an abortion. The fetuses were discovered after the owner of a 20-foot crate repossessed it from Mel Weisberg, owner of Medical Analytic Laboratory Incorporated in suburban Santa Monica, because of his failure to make a $1,700 payment. Unpack that paragraph, folks. The company picked it up and brought it back to their company, Druin said. They noticed it was quite heavy, and when they opened the doors, they observed the container was full of cardboard boxes. Yeah, I'm not going to read the rest of this. There's not much more to read. This is clickbait, but it happens to be maybe true, right? It seems true that UPI held on to the story since 1982. That's a long time, you know? 42 years. That's a long frickin' time to hold on to a bullshit story. So who knows? It could be bullshit, could be true. I don't know what to tell you. It's a horrible story. I don't know why I read it. I think there's something wrong with me. I think I have brain worms. You know? Here's why I read the story. Because it is kind of related to the clickbait topic, but it's also related to the wider subject of don't immediately react to the story. Don't immediately react to the news. We are fed on a daily basis a lot of horror stories these days, and I cannot attest to how true they are. Unless you experienced it yourself or have a firsthand source you trust, I don't think you should assume the story is true. The first question I would ask you to ask before you read any newspaper article, I don't care if it's the New York Times, I don't care if it's a longer article in The Economist, I don't care if you read the New Republic, I don't care if you read the Boston Herald or the Seattle Times, I don't care. You know, there's all kinds of newspapers still alive out there. I don't care what you read. The first question before you read any article is, why are they showing this to me? Why? What's the purpose? Because if you believe there's free press in this country, or that there ever really has been, at least in our lifetimes, I don't think you're connected with the reality at this point. None of these articles gets out there by accident. Sure, you could be a writer for the lifestyle section and say, Dan, I write lifestyle articles. I review stories about pizza. And yeah, I know. But sooner or later, someone's going to knock on your fucking door, you know? And they're going to say to you, buddy, that article you were going to write about how much that Cricket Bug restaurant sucks, yeah, you can't publish that because I don't know how to put this, buddy. In a couple months, that's going to be what people can eat. So you can't publish that article, buddy. And then you say, well, this is lifestyle. Yeah, I know. But it's all connected, pal. It's connected. It's connected. Even the lifestyle journalist has to tell a narrative that fits. You have to. You have to tell a narrative that, and these days, the popular narrative, the one main narrative for the most part, at least as far as domestic life in the United States is concerned, is everything's kind of okay. You know, we've got some malcontents, we have some weirdos, but if we can elect somebody, Trump, Kamala, Oliver Twist, if somebody gets elected, it's all going to be fine. And stop complaining about the inflation, and stop complaining about the food quality. Stop complaining about the cancer. Stop complaining about the diabetes and the other fucking things plaguing us. Stop complaining about the fucking schools and the fact that you can't afford to buy a place or rent a place to live. Stop being a complainer. Eat your protein cube and turn it into spider egg chili, buddy. That's what you're supposed to write in your lifestyle article. Be careful. The first question you should ask is, why are they showing this to me? It doesn't mean the story is bullshit either. I've repeated this several times, but I remember early in 2020 doing a podcast where I said to folks, listen, at a certain point in the game, they're going to toss a shit ton of horrible truth at you. And it will be true. And the purpose won't be to reveal the truth or to free you or to liberate you. The purpose will be to keep you angry and confused right up until whatever happens next. And so there's a lot of stuff being tossed at us right now that might actually be true. And if anything, that indicates we're kind of close to the end of whatever this is. Boblimpdoc. Boblimpdoc is almost over. What comes next might not be Grinkin time, but I'm kind of certain it's going to be Grinkin time. Or something worse. Doesn't mean the end of the world, though. Whatever is coming, it's still not the end of the world. And for right now, we can still have protein cubes and we can still make spider egg chili. But my advice to you, motherfucker, if you're a positive mental optimist piece of shit, is don't go around telling people to turn a frown upside down. Something bad might have happened to that person. Maybe the best thing you could do is say, what's going on? How can I help? But if you can't say those things, walk along, stranger. Keep on walking. If you can't help, if you can't listen, if your only role in life is to torture and to hurt, you keep on walking, because we're in a period of time where one of these folks that you would mock, that you'd make fun of for being poor, for not having the right clothes, for not wanting to vote like the rest of the clones, one of those folks is not going to maintain their composure. And that's a nice way of putting it. So my advice is, if all you've got to do is add some smart aleck salt to somebody's open wound, is keep on fucking walking. This is not the time. It really isn't. And if you're gonna, accept the consequences. If you like this podcast and I'm unsure as to why, you can donate to it. It's up to you. I don't know. You know, I make fun of Peter Thiel, but the only source or link I have or thing I have or means I have to get paid at this point is PayPal. So you can treat that as whatever ironic, fucking absurd bullshit you want to on the Death Star. But before you click on the link in the notes or someplace else, listen to the following disclosure. Firstly, as always, this is not, you know, tax deductible. I'm not a charity. You know, I'm not a 501c3. And you're not obligated to donate anything. I know that a lot of people out there just don't have much right now. And frankly, I have more than many. So there is no obligation. That's number one. Number two, take care of your food, water, shelter first. If you can't take care of those things, don't donate anything. Okay? It's not helping you. It's not helping me. If there are people in your immediate life that need help right now, I'm talking about physical human beings. I'm not talking about internet people you've never met. I'm sorry, but the time for internet people you've never met, and please be offended, is over. I'm not saying you can't be entertained. I'm not saying you can't be email pen pals. Go ahead and exchange bullshit on Facebook or Twitter. But in terms of priorities, people you don't really know from the internet are less of a priority than physical human beings you do know right down the fucking street. So before you donate to my podcast, make sure you take care of people in your own life you care about. You know, family, friends, there are people who probably need help. Do that first. If you're setting aside food, like 6 months worth, because again, you're an optimist in your basement, and you have a dog, a cat, a parrot, a fish, I don't care, make sure you set aside food for that pet, especially the dogs and probably the cats, because the dogs are going to look out for you. The dogs are going to be helpful. They're probably your only real security system if things get bad enough. So yeah, if you're setting aside food for yourself, make sure you think about your dog. And last but not least, it's not the end of the world. Yeah, shit's crazy. People have a lot of stuff they're juggling right now. You gotta be fucking careful. You know, internet's easy. You can say all kinds of crap on social media. It's all just a big fucking landfill. A virtual landfill. But when you walk out to the grocery store, you better recognize that stuff's kind of crazy. That being said, it's still not the end of the world right now, and it's not the end of the world. It's just shit's crazy. So before shit gets crazier, and you can't actually access your bank account, and you can't actually go to the store and get a steak, you're unable to take your girlfriend to a restaurant, before things get crazier, why don't you just treat yourself? Why don't you take a break? Before you donate to my podcast, cut yourself some slack and take a break and donate to yourself. But if you've done all these things and you live in a crystal palace not far from Zington, if you've done all these things and you have a star-studded life of gold-filtered poop stains, if you've done all these things and you're drifting in space to save the human race, you can send me all your cash. You can send me all your gold. You can send me all your emeralds. I'll do something special. I'll find a hooker named Melba, and we'll start a hookah life near Hookah Central. We'll grow crops. We'll hoe our own row. All your cocaine, all your gold, send it to me. If you're totally fulfilled, have all your needs taken care of, and you have nothing to do with your billions of dollars, send it to me. I can use it. For Saturday, September the 28th, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc, I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. I know it's tough out there, but like I said, and I mean it, I know you think I mean it ironically, I don't. It's not the end of the world. It's crazy, and I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news. It's going to get crazier before it gets better, and that crazier might just last a few years, and that crazier could possibly last a few decades, and even if it did last a few decades, that crazier would still be gentler than my worst-case scenario. But it's still not the end of the world, and as Dr. Freckles has said in the past, in good times, there are hard times, and in hard times, there are good times. It simply means that life is not over because the world gets crazier. Maybe the truth is the world has always been crazy, and the collective hallucination was the United States between 1945 and now. Everybody else has been living in reality, brother. Have yourselves a great rest of your weekend. Try to enjoy yourselves. Don't get caught up in too much political bullshit. And if somebody asks you who you're voting for, tell them, damn straight, I'm voting for the righteous. Talk to you later.